Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another great trip report. Let's start this week the right way by taking a virtual trip down to Walt Disney World. We have listener Elise standing by on the line, and she's going to tell us about her trip to Walt Disney World last fall. She traveled down solo, stayed at All Star Music. We hear about her thoughts there. She was on free dining, and man, she had some great meals. We're talking Ohana, Homecoming, Garden Grill, Beer Garden, Be Our Guest. So many great meals, so get some reviews there. She also went to her first Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, did and a happily ever after dessert party. Lots of resort hopping, so we have lots to talk about on today's show. And she's in Newfoundland. And if you've been following the news, they have snow up to the roofs of their houses. We talk about that as well. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. If you want to stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation, check them out over at touringplans.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra. And every purchase does help support everything we do here on the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1595 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. I hope that you had a great weekend. And here in the States, this is the weekend that, you know, what happened? There's no football. Super Bowl's next weekend. You have the Pro Bowl. Nobody watches that. Baseball's not happening. I guess we had the NHL All-Star game here in St. Louis. But man, I'm kind of lost. If it wasn't for Live PD, I don't know what I would do with myself. So anyway, you know what I do? I'd listen to Disney podcasts, and that's what we're doing today. We're bringing you a great trip report, and we are heading. I love this. We're heading up north of the border, up to Newfoundland. Listener Elise is joining us from up there, and I have a very special question for her. But Elise, thank you for taking the time and joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
So Newfoundland, and if anybody's been following the news, you guys have had a little bit of snow over the last 7 to 10 days, correct?
Yeah, just a little bit. So Friday we had about 90 centimeters in one day, and it was what people are calling the, you know, the storm of the century type thing. It was honestly like a hurricane, but you add snow into it. So there's just the pictures. I haven't even been all around town because we're currently in a state of emergency. But the pictures are just unreal. I mean, there's no roads, there's no sidewalks, and you know they're working hard to get it cleaned, but it's going to take some time.
That is crazy. And so you know we've done, like I said, almost 1,700 shows when you count all the live shows and all that. And this is the first time I think anybody's taken the time to come to us during a state of emergency. So above and beyond, thanks for doing that for us. That's crazy.
Well, it breaks up my day. That's true. At least I get to talk to someone for a little while.
What are you going
to
do? Exactly. That's one of the great things. Oh, well, I guess I could talk on a podcast. So I saw the news coverage the last thing because I'm just a weather freak. But I mean, have you seen, like, is the snow, like, up to the roofs of some of the houses? That's crazy.
Oh, absolutely. Even my roof, it's up to the roof. There was one picture of the highway where the plows were trying to get through, and it was even almost higher than the plows. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. You know, we obviously get a lot of snow, but I've never seen anything like this in my life.
That's crazy. Yeah, we're supposed to get up to 2 inches of snow, and you know our TV's all in storm mode, and the background's all red, and the meteorologist is breaking in. You know, like the world's going to end for 2 inches of snow, and you know, and down in Florida as we're recording, iguanas are falling out of trees in Miami. You know, because it's in the 40s. You know, it's just a weird time. So. Let's talk Disney. You had a great trip last fall. So I know you went down on a solo trip, and I love hearing about these because that's one of the most common questions we get on the podcast on Wednesdays is, you know, I've never gone solo. I wonder what it's like. How does it, you know, how do I do character meals? You know, what about fast passes? So we can talk a little bit about that. But just tell us when you went down, where you stayed, and kind of the background of why'd you decide to go then?
Yeah, so it didn't start out as a solo trip. But life changes happened, and I kind of either had to make the decision to do a solo trip or kind of cancel my trip. And I always wanted to do a solo trip, so I opted for that. And I'm so glad I did, because it was really probably the best trip I've ever had down there. You know, I love going with my family, but it was really, really nice to kind of not have to worry about anybody but myself. but yeah, so I went for 12 days. So I usually take 10 to 14 days when I do go, because I come from so far away. I usually only get to go every couple of years. So I stayed at All Star Music, and the resort is great. I've stayed there before, or actually I stayed at Movies before it was refurbished. So I typically stay value, just because I like the theming. I like, you know, all the big Disney statues. You really feel like you're immersed in that kind of Disney culture the whole time, which is what I really like. Music is great. I would go again. I wish the rooms had been refurbished, yeah. But other than that, you know, it was a nice spot.
Yeah, music. Folks ask this a lot. So Movies is done with refurbishments. Music right now is in the middle of it, and Sports hasn't been hit yet. So, you know, that's kind of how those three are falling. But you're right. The All-Stars, Pop Century, Art of Animation, the Value Resorts. I've said this for years. There's a certain energy. And for the Disney fan, you know, I like trying them all. I like the moderates. You know, if I can afford a deluxe every now and then, that's awesome too. But there's just something about it's exciting. I mean, the Disney does kind of hit you over the head at the values, but I mean, that's why I go to Disney and not to Branson.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the values. I've stayed at Caribbean Beach, but other than that, I typically do stay a value. This time was primarily because a solo budget. That was just what was in my budget. So, but yeah, I would definitely go again, and hopefully, you know, those refurbs happen soon.
Absolutely. So now, this time of the year, when you went down, you know, to hit the Halloween party and so forth, was that kind of the focus? Like, there's so much going on at Walt Disney World during this time of year. You got Food and Wine, you got the Halloween party, you typically good weather down in Florida. Is that why you focused on this time?
Yeah. So I typically do travel in September, just because historically speaking, it's usually kind of the low crowd time, which is what I like. But there's no really low crowd time at Disney anymore, especially not with Star Wars being open now. So I actually chose my dates because I wanted to avoid the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. but of course, Disney had other plans, so that didn't happen. But I did miss, of course, I was only there for the first wave, so I was actually kind of happy that I, you know, got to experience all that. But primarily, I decided to go in September because of Halloween. I'm a Halloween fan, and I've never done the Halloween party, so that's why I decided then. And I also lucked into free dining, so that was a plus as well.
Yeah, there's so many great reasons to book that September time frame. If you know, especially if you're going solo, you don't have to consider about, you know, if you have kids, that's kind of a bad time to take them out of school. The school year's starting, the routines are getting put in place and so forth. But I mean, if you can get away, because like you said, you know, you got Food and Wine, you got the Halloween party, you usually have good weather, you can sometimes fall upon a discount, which helps. And a lot, you know, lately they've opened a lot of things that time of year. So we're going to talk about some of those new things that you got to experience on this trip. I see that you did Toy Story Land for the first time, Pandora for the first time. So what were your thoughts on some of these first time experiences that you had on this trip?
Yeah, so I definitely had a lot of firsts. Some things that have been out for a couple of years, but I hadn't been since March of 2017. So I just missed the Pandora opening. So Pandora, I mean, it's stunning. There's no words to describe Pandora, and you really got to go in the daytime and as well at night to kind of fully experience that land. And Flight of Passage is definitely, in my opinion, the best ride at Disney.
A lot of folks say that, you know, Flight of Passage, everybody loves that ride. I wish I could just get past the motion thing on it, but I get that it's awesome. I've done it two or three times, but it's a great ride. Rise is better, but it's definitely there.
Yeah, I was worried a bit about the motion as well, because I do tend to get motion sick on particularly Mission Space. Sometimes even, I'm totally drawing a blank on the old Star Wars ride.
Oh, yeah, Star Tours. I can't do that one, and it kills me because I love Star Wars, but I can't do Star Tours.
Yeah, no, I was a bit worried, but I didn't find it too bad at all. I just made sure to kind of keep my eyes to the straight and try to not look to the sides, because I knew that's when I would start to feel it a little bit. But I was actually perfect, so I was happy about that.
I love how you say you fell in love with the land, the rides, Setuli Canteen, we can all agree on the third for sure.
Oh, Setuli Canteen is hands down the best quick service property.
Amen. That is so good. And yeah, it's just, here's what I like too about it. I know this is like this is like a first world problem for a Disney fan, but I like that relatively speaking, Setuli Canteen's toward the front of the park. You know, you can go in the park and go around Discovery Island, turn to left, and you don't have to go all the way to the back of the park if you want to just go in there, grab a protein bowl, and, you know, take a picture by the Tree of Life and head out. It's sad to say I've done that before.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's pretty sad. Pretty sad.
Yeah. I think we've all done that. Toy Story Land was a first for me too. And I'm a huge Toy Story fan. And I think that was probably one of my highlights because it was just so, it was so unique. It was just so cute. I loved it.
It is.
It's and Slinky Dog is my favorite.
It's, you know, Toy Story Land in general is just, it's fun. It's not a huge land. It's not anything that's, you know, it's never to the level of Batuu or Galaxy's Edge, but it's just, it's fun. It's cute. It's just like, you know, if you took it, I guess it's exactly what it's supposed to be. Like if you just took a kid's play set and threw it on the ground and, you know, you're walking through it now. I do love Toy Story Land. I think it's one of the best things they've done. They don't have to do everything as detailed as Galaxy's Edge. I like Toy Story exactly how it is.
Yeah, I do too. And Woody's Lunchbox is another place that I really enjoy. I had breakfast and lunch there on two different days. And it was delicious. I had the breakfast bowl. And then for lunch, I had the brisket, the smoked brisket sandwich. So that was both delicious.
One of my favorites. I do love the I like brisket anywhere, but it tastes better at Disney. And I'm excited.
Exactly.
I'm excited for the American Adventure barbecue joint to open here. The Regal Eagle with Sam Eagle.
I know.
So let me ask you.
I'm looking forward to that.
What do you think? Because it's a big controversy, and you're Canadian. You know, you're not from the United States, but I don't think it matters. It's a Muppet. I mean, are you excited to see the injection of Sam Eagle in the American Adventure and these characters come in, like Ratatouille coming to France and, you know, Anna and Elsa in Norway? I mean, what are your thoughts on that as a big Disney fan?
Yeah, I think it's a great use of Sam for sure. You know, we don't really get to see him. So I think that's a fantastic implementation there. And I think, you know, like a lot of people have said, the American Pavilion didn't really represent all of the food options that you guys have. And I think barbecue, I mean, again, I don't know, but I feel like barbecue represents you guys really well. And I think it's a good move for Disney.
Absolutely. Sam Eagle's awesome. He's my favorite Muppet. So I'm glad that we're having somebody dignified come into our pavilion and the U.S. pavilion. And you know where I'm from? Barbecue rules. We're from the Midwest.
Exactly.
Man. That's it. That's what we eat. So I am excited for that. So speaking of Epcot, though, you were there during Wine and Dine. Or the Food Wine Festival. Wine and Dine's the race. Yeah, still got the races on my mind 2 weeks later. It's, I guess I'm going to Princess here in another 4 weeks, so not too long. I love this little pro tip you throw in there, because you talked about some of the stuff you had that you really enjoyed. We can talk about that. But I read this, and I cracked up. And it says, pro tip, don't dine at Beer Garden the same day as a good food and wine adventure. Although no regrets, it was delicious. And because the thing is, I love Beer Garden. It's a great value. I love the buffet, but it's heavy on meats and potatoes. I mean, when I walk out of there, I'm in pain because I make sure I get my money's worth. But I can't imagine combining that with some snacks from the Food and Wine Festival. I love that.
Yeah,
that's a great tip.
It wasn't my brightest decision. but I was on the dining plan, the middle one where you get to table service and a quick service every day. So I'm not really one for the... most of the two credit places, I'm not really one for those fancy meals, as we call them. It's just not my speed. So I ended up dining somewhere, a table service pretty much every day. So that day I chose Beer Garden. And I thought to myself, okay, well, that's fine. I can, you know, start touring the world, you know, as soon as I can. And then, you know, by lunchtime I'll be finished. Yeah, that didn't happen. So... Food and Wine. I've been during Food and Wine before, but where I typically go with my family, my sister, she's 15 now. So last time we were there, she would have been 12, 13. So, you know, you don't really truly get to experience Food and Wine, you know, if there's kids in tow who want to do something else and things like that. So it was the first time I really, you know, got the passport, decided what I wanted to eat, and kind of wined and dined around the World Showcase. And it was definitely a highlight for me. But yeah, dining at Biergarten the night on my first day of Food and Wine, when I was kind of on sensory overload and just wanted everything, was probably not the best idea.
I'm hurting for you just hearing it. Like, my stomach is just like, ooh, man, that's rough.
That's <'cause>... Yeah. But I didn't, I kind of kept it light. Like I, my only regret is that I feel like I didn't really get to experience Biergarten because I was just so full. So I just kind of had a relatively light supper. But yeah, I, you know, my favorite things at the pavilions were probably the ravioli at Italy. That was phenomenal. I also really enjoyed the, I can't remember the name of it, that the cheese bread that they have in Brazil.
Yes.
That was so good. And I also liked all the Canada dishes, and maybe, you know, I'm a little biased on that one, but they were delicious.
So let me ask you about that. I love talking to folks from other countries and, you know, especially about World Showcase and the representation there. So is, you know, as we spoke, barbecue is definitely from where I am in the United States. I mean, of course, Canada is a vast country with, you know, all kinds of different flavors and ethnicities and everything. It's just like the United States. But what do you feel, you know, is the Canada Pavilion representative of the Canada you know? And what about the foods during the festival?
Yeah, so the Canada, the pavilion itself, I find it's a good representation of kind of the western half of our country, as well as like Ottawa and things like that. But the eastern side, which is where of course I am, we have a lot of cliffs and waves. I mean, we're surrounded by water. So I don't think that, but it would kind of be difficult to represent, I guess. So I don't think, you know, it represents the entire country, but mostly they do a great job of the western half. In terms of the food is pretty spot on. You know, we love our steak, and we love our barbecue as well. And I do think they do a really good job of the food.
And I'm excited to see the new movie too, because, you know, I love the old movie with Martin Short. You know, I've always loved Canada. I grew up always watching Hockey Night in Canada with Don Cherry and, you know, the other guys, and you watch the two games, you know, the early game, the game on the East Coast, and you watch a game on the West Coast. And I played hockey, you know, forever. And it's just one of those things, like, you know, I just have this, I always root for the Canadian teams unless it's, the Blues playing against them. So I just love it. Like, I've never been there, but I've always told myself someday I want to go up there and play a game of pond hockey. You know, I'm getting too old now, though. I mean, like, I would get killed if I tried to do that. You know, it's Saturday night pickup game. But it's one of those things, like, the movie had me so excited to see different things in Canada that, you know, because you see the urban areas, you see kind of the countryside, and it is so vast. And I hope the new movie does service to it. I heard it's really good, so I'm excited to see it here next month.
Yeah, I am too. I can't wait to see what they do with it.
All right. So now let's also jump into, you had a lot of great meals. You know, you mentioned you're on the Disney dining plan. We talked Biergarten, but maybe hit another couple of the restaurants that stood out to you. We talked about Woody's Lunchbox, the Thule Canteen, but you did some awesome, some other awesome sit down meals.
Yeah. So my favorite table service meal was definitely, tied between Yak and Yeti and Homecoming.
Oh, good call, both.
So, Yak and Yeti, I had the Kobe beef burger. Now, I like burgers, but it's not something you usually order at a restaurant just because I'm weird and like to get my money's worth type thing. But I'd heard so many good things about the Kobe beef burger, and it was absolutely amazing. Like, it was delicious. And then for homecoming, I went for lunch. So, of course, I had the fried chicken, which was amazing as well.
Is that the one that had the donuts?
So I got it with the mac and cheese, actually. Okay. It came with the mashed potato, but I substituted for the mac and cheese because I really wanted that too.
Oh, man, their sides. Everybody talks about the entrees at homecoming, but man, the sides are kind of where it's at. They have such good stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
now you're killing me with all these meals because you're hitting all my favorites. You also did. I see you also did Garden Grill for breakfast. I just did that over marathon weekend. I think that's just a solid, solid meal.
Oh, I loved Garden Grill. Definitely one of my favorite breakfasts I've had on property. Character interaction is phenomenal too. I was a bit nervous about the character meals going solo, but I have to say, like, you almost get more attention as a solo diner. You know, they were taking selfies with me, sitting at the table with me. Chip and Dale came over and they argued over my cinnamon bun, and it was a lot of fun. And then Hollywood and Vine as well, the characters kind of did the same thing. You know, Mickey and Goofy came and sat down and they were fighting for my hand to kind of take my hand. And it was fun. So, you know, anybody out there who's nervous or hesitant about character dining solo, I say just go for it. You know, it was definitely a lot of fun.
So does the character handler, you know, kind of take your pictures and all that and get that squared away for you? Because, I mean, obviously you're doing a character meal. You want those pictures.
Yeah, so sometimes there's a character handler, and I would, of course, ask them. They had no issues with that. Whenever there wasn't one there, I would usually just take a selfie or get the person next to me to take one, and I would do the same for them type thing. And people were pretty good about it. Cool. The selfies were actually kind of cute. You know, I have lots of pictures standing up with characters, so it was kind of fun to kind of do the selfie.
No, I agree. I'm kind of the king of the selfie. I've taken one or two in my life, so don't look at my Instagram every morning at about 7:30. Okay, yeah, on the treadmill. So let me ask you about one more dining experience here that I'm very curious about, because I haven't done it, and everybody was doing it over Marathon Weekend because Dopey's at this meal. It's over at Wilderness Lodge, the Storybook Dining, which, you know, used to be Artist Point. So you said it was your second favorite meal of the whole trip. Why is that?
It's only my second favorite because I just loved the food at Yak and Yeti so much, and Homecoming. But Storybook, I'm a big Snow White fan. So I was just, you know, when I heard about that dining experience coming out, of course, it was the first ADR I had to book at my 180 mark, because I wanted to make sure I got that one. And it was just amazing. I had the prime rib. And then I actually went with... So before I went on my trip, when I knew I was going solo, I joined a couple Facebook groups where there's, you know, fellow solo travelers and that sort of thing. And I met a girl who's actually from my home province.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. So she ended up taking along to a few meals with me, and that was one of the ones she came to. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun to have someone for that meal and kind of share in the experience and take pictures. She got this really sweet picture of Snow White signing autographs for me, and that was a lot of fun. I actually had them sign apples. I had each of them sign an apple, and when I came home, I put them into a little basket.
That's so cool. They have no problem, like, signing, you know, these special things. Like, I noticed in your notes, you have Belle sign a rose. I mean, they sign these kind of miscellaneous items with no problem. That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the... of the unique autographs. So whenever I know, in particular, when I know I'm dining with someone, I'll try and come up with some sort of unique idea. So when I went to Crystal Palace, I actually got, you know, Pooh and Tigger and everybody, they signed a map of the 100-acre wood. So now that's hanging in my living room. And yeah, I just like to kind of keep it fun and bring home some cool souvenirs.
I mean, that's why I love the show, because, you know, we've been doing it here for going on 12 years here in a couple of months. And you know, every time we sit down on, especially on Mondays, when we get to talk with our listeners, that, you know, that's something I've never considered. And somebody that's heading down maybe next week, maybe they're going to go, you know, to the dollar store and grab something like this, because you're right. I mean, autograph books are awesome, which, you know, they're easy to put all your autographs in one place, but how cool is it to put something on the shelf that's autographed? You know, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Where'd you get that idea? I mean, did you just find it online, or is this something you came up with on your own?
So it started on a previous trip. When I went to the Bon Voyage breakfast with Rapunzel and Flynn and Ariel and Eric. And I think it just popped up on my Pinterest when I was in there.
Tell me you didn't bring a skillet.
I sure did.
Oh, I know somebody else that did that too. That is so awesome.
And I, in addition to the skillet, I also brought a big fork, a.k.a. Dingle Hopper.
That's awesome.
So ever since then, I'm like, oh, well, what am I going to do this trip?
Oh my gosh, now you always got to top yourself. Yeah, you got to think, okay, what weapon would this character? No. that's awesome. That's so cool, because it's more practical. I like that. That's really, I love when people put new spins on these trips. That's so cool. All right, so we got so much to talk about. We got to get this in. So you did some resort hopping. And now look, you went to a lot. You went to the lodges, Wilderness, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Grand Floridian, Port Orleans, Polynesian. You were all over the place. So what, you were there for so long, that gives you the opportunity to do this almost 2 weeks. So give people tips on resort hopping, because I encourage this. Go see the resorts. They're awesome.
So resort hopping was probably the highlight of my entire trip. It was just something I've always wanted to do. And again, when you're with other people, you know, you've got to kind of do what others want, and it's just something that doesn't always happen. So I kind of made a vow to myself that I would explore as many resorts as I could this trip. And obviously I'd seen a lot previously, but there's a lot that I hadn't seen. So I went for 12 days, but I actually only had 8 park days. So my strategy was to skip the weekend because it's a little busier typically. So I did my resort hopping on those days. So I went to, well, let's start at the beginning, I guess. On Saturday, I started at Fort Wilderness and I went to Trails End for brunch. So that was really good. And the only thing I don't like about resort hopping is transportation can sometimes be troublesome, of course, because you can't take a bus to a resort in between resorts.
Yep.
So I, thinking I was doing the right thing, I grabbed an Uber the morning I went to Trails End. And thinking that he could drop me right into, you know, at least a little closer to avoid that internal bus system that they have. But he could only drop me to the bus stop.
Yep.
So I didn't really save much time by taking an Uber there because I still had to go through that internal bus system. When I got there, I realized that the boat launch for the Magic Kingdom was right by the restaurant.
Yep.
So I wish that I had done a little more research on that and gone to the Magic Kingdom and then just grabbed the boat over. So yeah, I went there first, and Fort Wilderness, I mean, I love Fort Wilderness. I do a lot of camping and outdoor activities here at home, so it's just so peaceful and relaxing. The only thing I was a little disappointed about was because of the new resort, and I'm drawing a blank on the name for the one that's going up there by Fort Wilderness.
Reflections.
Yes, Reflections. So there's a lot of construction, so I was planning to do like the wagon ride and stuff like that, and that wasn't going on because of the construction. Maybe it was the time of day, I'm not sure, but I couldn't even get over to Tri-Circle D Ranch to see those wagon rides, so I'm not too sure on that one. So I just had my brunch and then hung out there for a bit on the rocking chairs. It was so peaceful, and then I grabbed the boat over to Magic Kingdom, and then I grabbed the boat to the Grand Floridian. And the boat, I think, now, of course, the Skyliner wasn't open when I was there, but I think the boat is one of the most underrated modes of transportation. It's just so quick and simple.
It is. I like all of the transportation. You know, the Skyliner, I've been down twice now with it, and it's incredible. I mean, it's the best. But, you know, boats, monorails, even the buses are kind of cool. Like, I just love transportation at World.
Yeah, absolutely. The boats I did a lot this time. I don't think I even got on the monorail once because the one time I went to use it, it was broken. So I ended up having to grab a boat. So yeah, I went to the Grand Floridian. You know, I've been there before. Fort Wilderness, I'd been there before as well. Then I grabbed the boat back to Magic Kingdom and went over to Port Orleans. So my friend who I mentioned earlier, she was staying there. So she kind of showed me around. Then we went our separate ways, and I walked over to Riverside, which is just a beautiful walk. You know, you go from what feels like the heart of New Orleans. I've never been, but it feels like a pretty accurate representation there. And then you come to the more elegant part of you know, Louisiana, and you see those big white pillar homes, and it was beautiful. So really glad I did that. Then I headed back to French Quarter side and ate at Sasagula Floatworks, which was delicious.
It is.
A really good use of a quick service credit, too. I mean, I had a steak and mac and cheese. As you can tell, I like mac and cheese.
Nothing wrong with that.
And it was just huge. The steak was huge. And, you know, it was a really good use of my credit. And then so that was basically my resort hopping day.
That's a lot, though. I mean, seriously, that would exhaust me, even as much as the theme park.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was going to be the more relaxing day. It wasn't.
I was going to say, because you covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, and then that night I actually went to the Polynesian to knock off another thing on my bucket list, to watch the fireworks from the beach there. So that was pretty awesome. I also went to Trader Sam's when I was there, which was another first for me. That's a really cool little spot there.
And I would say, you know, I've said this on the show before, but I really think it's important that, you know, schedule an ADR at a resort you've never been to, because you're kind of killing two birds with one stone right there. You know, you're going to have a nice meal at a restaurant, but also while you're there, either go an hour before your ADR or, you know, walk off the meal after you eat and just kind of explore the place you're at. You know, like you said, you know, Wilderness Lodge, Storybook Dining, you know, Port Orleans, either one of them. You could do, you know, you could do boat rides at Riverside, but you could do the food courts have great food at either one of those. Grand Floridian Cafe over the Grand Flow, Polynesian, lots of options. Kona or Ohana. I'm thinking today. Yeah. But I mean, there's so many options. I mean, you know, Boma or Jiko over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Just give yourself an excuse to get there.
Exactly. And that's what I did with the other places I visited. So obviously Storybook Dining was at Wilderness Lodge. And then at Animal Kingdom Lodge, I scheduled a ADR at Boma, which is now my favorite breakfast on property. It was delicious.
I've never done breakfast there. I've done lots of dinners there. Whew. God, so full. Oh.
Yeah, it was my first time over that way. And I didn't get to see the animal, well, you know, like the giraffes and things like that, because they're over on the Kidani side, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I didn't take the time to go over there because I was going to Animal Kingdom that day, and I just kind of wanted to get a move on. But I mean, that resort is beautiful too. The Polynesian and the Wilderness are probably my two favorites, though.
Oh, so gorgeous! All right, so we got to get to the focuses. You're a Halloween fan, and so you got to do the Halloween party. You made your own costume, Pinocchio costume, which I got to hear about, but. Give us the highlights, because a lot of folks, it's crazy because right now it's January, it's freezing. You got snow up to your roof literally right now. It's crazy. You won't be going camping anytime soon. You said you like to camp. I think it'll be July before you get a chance this year. I don't know.
I'm lucky.
So anyway, but I mean, you know, like it's scary, but with the way Disney works is right now is the time to plan your trip for the fall. If you want to go to the Halloween party, it's not like, oh, we can do that later. Like do it now. Get your result. I'm just saying that because the fall is getting so popular with the parties, the festivals and so forth. So give us the highlights. Like is a Halloween fan first time going to the party? What is your advice and what did you learn?
So the Halloween party, like I said, was one of the main reasons I went that time of year. It was the only time my whole trip that I kind of felt like I would have liked to have had someone there. I think just because it's such a fun party, you know, there's so much going on, you know, it would have been fun to go trick-or-treating with my sister down Main Street and things like that. But I still had a blast nonetheless. My highlights were definitely the parade and the Hocus Pocus show. I think those are two really, really cool things. The parade is just so unique. I'd watched it on YouTube, you know, 100 times before I went, but it's nothing like experiencing in person. And I also really love Space Mountain. So Space Mountain, they had the overlay, which was essentially just complete darkness. And that was really cool, too. So I did that a couple times. I didn't get to meet any characters, so I was a bit disappointed about that. But just so much to do. You know, again, I was kind of on sensory overload. I went in and I was just like, I want to do everything. But I knew I couldn't do everything. So I decided to just kind of make the best of what I could. What I ended up doing was So I went to get a spot for the Hocus Pocus show. And then I stayed in that spot for the parade as well as the fireworks. So I went to the second parade. And then that worked out really well because I, you know, of course, as each show ended, more people would clear out and I had perfect view the whole time. So that worked out really well.
Nice. Yeah. You know, I haven't seen the Hocus Pocus show because I've never seen the Hocus Pocus movie. I think that it's like the group after me. I think I'm a little bit too old because it came out when I was, you know, a little bit older. I don't know. I don't get the whole. I know it's like a cult thing. Is it one of your favorite movies? I mean, is that why you like the show so much or is it the show on its own?
Yeah, no, that's definitely one of my favorite Halloween movies for sure.
See, like it's like Ricky's, it's like Ricky's age, you know, like she's a little bit younger than me and she's all about Hocus Pocus. I'm like, isn't that like Bette Midler, like or something? I don't even know.
Well, you got to see it. It's like a Halloween rite of passage.
All right, I'll trust you. All right, so now you mentioned too, you tried to go on a Tuesday and attempt to avoid the crowds, and it seemed like it didn't work. So it seemed really busy for your party.
Yeah. So, and I heard a few people say the same thing who'd been there, you know, who are more seasoned partygoers than I am, that it was really busy. Like the lineups for candy, you know, they weren't too long, but they were longer than I would have expected. for Tuesday night, because of course I did my research and kind of selected a day that, again, historically is supposed to be a less busy time. And I think it was a little bit less busy than the Friday or Saturday one, because I talked to a couple girls who went those nights. But it was definitely busier than I anticipated.
But you were still able to, I mean, was there anything that you said you didn't get character shots, which I guess, you know, ideally that would be in a perfect world to have all those as well. But I mean, did you feel like when you left the party that you got your value out of your ticket, or were you missing things? I mean, what was your overall experience? How would you rate it?
Oh, definitely like a 10 out of 10. It was an awesome time. I think I was sort of running on adrenaline by the end of it because it was such a long day. I didn't do the parks that day, so I just used my party ticket, went right at 4 o'clock, banged out some rides right off the get-go, and then, you know, at 7 o'clock when the party started, I was ready to do all the party stuff.
Great idea. Because you don't want to burn yourself out before the party, because then you're exhausted and you're just kind of going through the motions.
Exactly, yeah. So I think I was running on some adrenaline by the end of it because I wasn't ready to go home. Even after the fireworks, they ended at, I think it was maybe 11:45. Like it was really close to 12 o'clock. And I literally ran to Pirates of the Caribbean because it was the one ride I didn't do that had the Halloween overlays. So, of course, they had the live pirates throughout the queue and in the ride. So I really wanted to do it. So I managed to get there and did that my last thing. And I remember leaving the park and just saying I didn't want to go because I just had so much fun.
You were hyped up on M&Ms and Twix bars.
Exactly.
At least that's what I'm hyped up about when I go to the party, man. Because, like, you know, I put it all in my bag, but then, you know, the bag gets heavy, so you got to start eating it on the go to, you know, lighten the load. That's the way I
that's
see
right.
it. That's right. All right, so another great thing you did, kind of a splurge here, was the Happily Ever After dessert party, which, again, on the Wednesday shows, we get questions about these all the time, especially, like, when are they going to announce the dates for my trip for the dessert parties? And it's usually about 60 days, people. I know it's not 180 days. It's all confusing. And it's not exactly 60 days. I wish they would do that, like, on a schedule, but they don't. So it's usually around 2 to 3 months before the dates. But you got to go. Tell us about booking it. Was it hard to book? And then what was the experience like?
Yeah, so this is another thing that had been on my bucket list for quite a while. But when I was traveling with a family of four, of course, it was pretty pricey. So it was just something we never did. But I was just one, so it wasn't too bad. I opted to do the Tomorrowland Terrace version, the one where you can sit down. Because this was kind of just like a, you know, I'd already seen the fireworks this trip in the hub, and this was just kind of to be a final night on my last night of the trip. So I splurged and did the sit down version, and it was, you know, that and resort hopping was definitely the two highlights of my trip. It was just, it was so nice to not have to worry about, you know, seeing the fireworks, finding a place. The food was amazing. Their little cheesecake bites and their cheeseburger rolls. Those were my two favorite things. but I lined up, I think, about an hour before, and then they started letting people in, probably 10 or 15 minutes after I got there. As a solo person, I actually kind of had an advantage because they kind of just poked your table in these little nooks wherever they could kind of fit you type thing. So I was the second or third person in line, so I kind of had my choice of where I could sit, and I had the absolutely perfect view. I was a bit nervous because I'd read reviews of people not having an ideal view for that Tomorrowland Terrace version. But I did, I lucked out, and it was great. It was definitely, I definitely recommend it to everybody to do at least once just to experience it.
But you know, you bring up a good point though. If you ever get, you know, the opportunity or the circumstances change to where, you know, like in your case, it's a solo trip or a no trip. And, you know, like I go down for race weekends or media events or, you know, what have you, for openings of certain things just to kind of cover for the show here. And while going on a solo trip it's kind of a double-edged sword. You kind of mentioned it today, and I tell this to a lot of folks who are considering a solo trip when they're planning trips, is that you're exactly right. I mean, there's so many times where when you're on a trip, you see, like, in my case, you know, like, I see a dad and a daughter walking down Main Street, and all of a sudden I get, you know, like, my heart gets sad. You know, like, I wish Mallory and Paige and Pam, you know, my whole family was there, because, you know, you see families making all these memories together constantly. I mean, that's what it's all about when you're at Walt Disney World. But then again, there's this flexibility that, since you're solo, not only can you do whatever you want, really, whenever you want to, But this is a great opportunity to do like things that, you know, like you said, that are times four really expensive. You know, like if I have to buy four tickets to a dessert party, I'm not doing it. You know, like it's too expensive. But like if I can do one for like $50, I can do that. You know, and I feel kind of guilty because then, you know, I posted on social media. My family says, hey, why didn't we do the dessert party? It's, well, it was only $50 instead of $200. So that's why I did. But it's one of those things, like, I mean, you got to kind of seize that opportunity and say, you know what, it would be too costly, you know, with multiple tickets here. But if I could just do it on my own, try one or two of those things because it kind of makes that trip special.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was no regrets. It was well worth every penny.
Absolutely. So let me ask you another thing about your trip. So you were there almost 2 weeks. So in a perfect world, do you like these really long, you know, one vacation every couple of years? Or would you, I understand why you do it because the flights, I mean, you're only paying the airline tickets once, whether you stay down 2 days or 12, you know, it makes sense. But, you know, do you like being there? Do you get kind of antsy towards the end? Or would you like to maybe do 2 1-week trips more frequently? What do you think?
I really like going for that period of time. Because typically what I'll do is I'll do a couple park days and then take a break. I'm typically a rope drop to fireworks kind of person. But this trip, I did not do that because I was solo and made some changes. So what I did was I would get up early, wouldn't rope drop because I don't think I could ever get up early enough to rope drop. But I got up early and went, you know, because they had the extra magic hours at the time. So I would go probably 7 o'clock and then stay until lunchtime. And then I'd go back to the hotel for a few hours, go for a dip, you know, freshen up, and then I'd head back in the evening. So I really liked tackling it that way because it's exhausting being there all day and all night. So that's one thing I learned this trip is that's a little bit more my park touring speed. But I do like going for those longer trips because it gives you an opportunity to take a break. And it also gives you an opportunity to do things like resort hopping, which, you know, I never had the chance to previously do because we were constantly going. You know, resort hopping was still a busy day. but it just, it's nice to have a couple more low-key days.
It is. And it makes it's just, when I'm down there for like a race weekend, there's a lot of pressure. You know, like there's always those things. I know I don't have to do it, but I feel like, you know, I don't have to, but I feel like I have to ride Space Mountain. It's my favorite ride. You know, like, you know, I have to be on the TTA at some point before I go home or else, man, you know, I'm going to lose my credibility as a Disney fan. You know, like you went down there for 4 days, you didn't ride the TTA. You know, I was like, it's those things. But when you're there for like 2 weeks, because we've done that too, there's something about just, you can actually be on vacation. You can relax and slow down. But then again, the kind of on the flip side, and I don't know if you feel this, 2 weeks feels like it goes by in like 2 days when you start getting towards the end of the trip. I mean, as long as 2 weeks sounds like right now, reflecting back, when you're there, all of a sudden, like you're on day 10 and it feels like you just landed at the airport.
Oh, absolutely. It feels like 2 days, but it's actually quite longer. So
it's great. Some of your feet hurt. So yeah, that's fun though. All right. So we got to get out of here, but let me ask you one last question. And, you know, you've given a lot of great tips, and I think a lot of this stuff folks are going to use here in their trips moving forward, which I really appreciate, especially the sign stuff for the characters. I love that. But, you know, I know you blog and you share a lot of your thoughts and your Disney fandom on different sites. We'll talk about that here at the end. But do you have any advice or maybe a different lesson learned that somebody could maybe benefit from here moving forward on their trip in 2020?
I think my biggest takeaway from it is if anybody's considering a solo trip, just do it. You know, you won't have any regrets. I totally understand the hesitation because I had the hesitation. But, you know, I was in a situation where I couldn't find anybody else to join. And I wasn't ready to give up the trip that I had worked so hard for. So it was truly the trip of a lifetime. I think that's my biggest advice. And you're not the only person solo traveling. You know, I mentioned about how I was nervous about the character meals and things like that. But people don't care, you know, nobody's looking at you when you're at dinner and saying, oh, that person's alone, you know, and I actually made a lot of friends. You know, I mentioned the Facebook groups and even when I was there in line, I met another girl, a couple times. I didn't meet her really until the last day of my trip, which was unfortunate, but we ended up spending most of that day together. And it's just, these are friends that I still talk to today, you know, so it was truly a awesome trip.
And the funny thing is too, and I don't know if you notice this, but like when you're solo, it's really easy to strike up conversations with people, like say you're on the Skyliner with another family, or You know, like you said, like if you're like sometimes I'll go to the tune-in lounge and get a peanut butter and jelly shake to go, you know, and while you're waiting, people are just kind of hanging around the bar, or, you know, what have you, just on buses and on a, you know, in lines for attractions. It's, you know, people are easy to talk to because you already have something in common. You're on a Disney vacation. Likely they're a Disney fan. Everybody has a story they want to share about how their kid puked, or, you know, like there's always some crazy story like, oh my God, this kid's like just broke the chain in the queue line, you know, and you know, you just tell them, hey man, my kid's done that too. You know, it's like there's always something you can find in common. And all of a sudden, you know, you've been talking for 20 minutes and it's really nice because, you know, you say solo trip and it sounds very solitary and lonely, but it's not. I mean, Walt Disney World's a very, very easy place to socialize with people you don't even know.
Absolutely. And I found the exact same thing. You know, it was really, really easy to meet people and I didn't feel lonely at all. So.
Cool. All right. Well, hey, I mentioned that you do some blogging and you also, you know, vlogging and so forth. You're active on the social media. So where can people check out all the stuff you do?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. Magical Moments blog is my handle. So I blog with the Mouse for Less and I have my own vlog, which I'm trying to keep more on top of than I am, but it's a lot of work. But yeah, I post on there pretty frequently.
Good stuff. Hopefully I'll give you a follow and catch up with you. I appreciate you again taking the time to come on the show today to kick off another great week with us. And you know what? Maybe we'll do a GoFundMe for some snow shovels for y'all or something.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It's been awesome.
All right. Thanks so much. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. You want to stay out of line to see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. And the folks over at touringplans.com can help you do just that. So check them out today and let Len know you heard about them here over at the Be Our Guest podcast over at touringplans.com. When you do that online shopping, hey, you know what? If you're buying snow shovels or whatever else, use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support everything we do here on the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, we got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, it's time to get out of here. And we'll be back again, of course, on Wednesday answering your listener questions. But until then, for Elise, I'm Mike wishing you a great Monday. It's time to head to work or dig out of the snow. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.